Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, last week, I wanted to begin about the mystery. But I wanted to show the difference between some of the ministry of the 12 and Paul's ministry. You see, the general idea today is that Paul was just part of the 12 group, that he's just a continuation of the 12 disciples, and that they're always preaching the same gospel. They were all doing the same thing. And I don't believe that. I believe Paul's ministry and his message that he was preaching was totally different from the 12. And so that's what basically I want to talk to you about that message. And I tried to show you last week some scriptures that was different of our Lord and the ministry to Israel and what the body of Christ is today. Now, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 3 again, verse 1 now. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now. And you ought to circle that little word now. As it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And verse 6 is this mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to this mystery and the dispensation of grace, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's not wrote down nowhere. You can't search this out. It's these unsearchable riches of Christ, and it was given to the Apostle Paul. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid where? In God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to just stop there, and I want to talk to you about this thing, and I want you to notice there are four things that in this passage of Scripture that will, are key phrases that will explain what the mystery. Number one, the revelation. Now, he mentions there in verse 3 how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then down in verse 5, as it is now revealed unto. So it was revealed. Paul had a revelation, and then there was another revealing through that. Now, we saw last week, in fact, turn over to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 1. And just for a little review here, in Colossians chapter 1, there are two ways that this mystery was revealed, and notice in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or revealed to his saints. Notice verse 25, given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. The mystery brings to completion the word of God. It fills it up. Notice this thing also. So I know that through scriptures, through Paul's writings, he filled up the word of God. In other words, you have Romans through Philemon, and they is concerning the mystery, and it brings your Bible, the word of God, to completion. Now, one other thing, notice in, turn over with me and look in Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Robbie read the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll tell you what, before you get there, come back to Thessalonians and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we'll go to Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we have Romans through Philemon. We have scriptures that was given to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it down. Their books, their epistles, their books that cover the revelation that was given to him. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause, the calling to the kingdom and glory, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, Paul's preaching, he's preaching what was revealed to him. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice in verse 17. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Turn over a page or so and look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. Notice in Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, hath in due times manifested his word through what? Well, how has God manifested his word? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's the preaching that was committed to the Apostle Paul. That's the word of God for you. He brought it to completion. That mystery. Now look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So how does God manifest his word today? Well, through Paul. And he manifested through his writings and by preaching. When he tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, Timothy didn't have a 1611 King James Bible. I mean, people got the idea that they're walking around with a Bible like you had. God manifested His Word through preaching. Well, I know where that Word come from. It came from the apostle to the Gentiles. He fulfilled the Word of God for the body of Christ. We have a complete Word of God today. We take our Genesis through Revelation. It's all for our learning. It's for our admonition. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord by that book. But brother, that whole book is not directly to you as a member of the body of Christ. It's not addressed to you. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient. That word expedient is not necessary, it's not useful, it's not profitable, it's not suitable. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my affirmance. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. In other words, he could boast about all that, but he wasn't going to be no fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. In other words, he's not going to tell him other things. I will tell you the truth, but now I forbear. I'm going to hold it back. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, or is known of me. Well, bless your heart, when he sits down in that prison cell and begins to write, and he writes, finishes out 2 Timothy, the complete revelation, all that he knew was wrapped up in these books right here. What was unlawful for him to tell the Corinthians at that time, he writes them down in Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and on and on. Brings it to completion. Now, I want you to see the revelation. Number one, that revelation brought about the foundation for the body of Christ. Turn over with me and look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians. Notice in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now in verse 10, according to the grace of God given, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Or he laid the foundation for the body of Christ. Look over in chapter 4. In chapter 4, in verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Well, I know what that foundation is. That foundation is the gospel. Look in chapter 15. In chapter 15, notice what he said in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, the good news, which also you have received, wherein you stand. Well, now, he said in chapter 3 that they are building, right? Did he tell them you're God's building? Did he tell them he laid the foundation for that building? Or does a building stand on a foundation? These people are standing on the gospel. That's our foundation, folks. Well, what is it? He said in verse 1, well, ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, that's the good news, that Christ died for our sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day according to the Scriptures. Isn't that good news? That's what we stand upon. That's what we base our salvation on. It ain't on what we do, it's on what he did for us. Christ went to that cross and died for all of your sins. If he died for one of them, he died for all of them. He died for them now and what you might do next week. From the time you breathe air into this world until the time you leave out of this world, Christ died for all your sins. And they was all put to his account. And God didn't impute them to you. That's a foundation. That's a great foundation. That was revealed to Paul. It was a mystery. Look in back in Romans. I'll tell you what you're there in Corinthians. I'm sorry. Go to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We're talking about the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He laid the preaching. It was revealed to him. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Now he's saying perfect, he's not talking about your flesh. He's not talking, you are perfect in Christ Jesus. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're put into the body of Christ, you have his righteousness imputed unto you, and as far as God is concerned, you are perfect in Christ. But your flesh is not. But look what he said. He said, thou art perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor in the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then that mystery, that was the hidden wisdom of God, he kept that mystery a secret, or they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Then I know that mystery there has to do with something about the cross. Or what is the something about the cross? Well, when they put Christ on that cross, it was Satan out there making them people holler, crucifying, crucifying. That was Satan. You know, when Jesus Christ was on that cross, in Psalm 22, it said the bulls of Bashan was about him. And some demoniac forces out there, they thought they had defeated the seed. They'd been trying to kill him ever since. They finally got it done. God turned in his wisdom, turned their act of violence against his son, and he turned it into good for you. Why? That act of violence become your sacrifice for all your sins. Had they known that, they would not have crucified him. God kept it a secret so he could bring salvation to you. The devil deceived himself. Thank God. Isn't he a wonderful Lord? A lot of times he can keep a secret. And he kept that thing a secret, what he was going to do. He knew Satan had been trying to corrupt the seed ever since Genesis 3:15. Corrupted mankind, tried to destroy them. Herod went back, slaughtered the bold male children and over there in Matthew 2 years back. Why? Trying to get rid of that Christ child. God Almighty was stepping a step ahead. God knew what he was going to do, and it's just like, it's almost like, now don't go out of here saying the devil was playing chess with God, but it's almost like God on one side and devil on the other, and the Satan make a move, God make another one. Well, you think he tempted him to throw himself down? If he would have yielded to them temptations in the wilderness, he lost his identity. If thou be the Son of God. You know something? Satan believes he knows this Bible. You know the thing about the devil? Oh, he knows the Scripture. He just doesn't believe the Scripture. He doesn't believe God will do what he said he'll do. If he can get God to break one word of this book, and you might as well throw the whole thing in the trash. A lot goes on behind the scenes that we don't even know about. And he didn't write it down for us to know about it. But look what he says there. It's a mystery. Turn over to look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, notice what he says in verse 25. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now what mystery is he talking about? What is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? Why, in Romans, 1 Corinthians, hang on to Romans, come over to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. In Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, and after that, in the wisdom of God, there's the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That believe what? What's going to get people saved? By them believing something. Got to be the gospel, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. In other words, they think it's foolishness, the preaching of the cross. Well, when he's talking about preaching of the cross, then it's got to be different than just preaching the gospel. The preaching of death, burial, and resurrection, that Christ died for your sins, to sinners is good news. But preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Why? Folks, they don't understand it. They don't understand God making him to be sin for us who knew no sin. You tell a sinner that, he can't understand that. Why? He don't have the Spirit of God in him. It ain't got nothing to do with you knowing a lot of a whole bunch of stuff. You lost, you know you're lost. Ain't a person in this building right now that don't know whether they're saved or not. You're either saved or you're lost. You're not, it's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. There's no middle ground. You're not about to be saved. You're not coming to salvation and gradually growing into it. You're either saved right now in the body of Christ or you're lost and you're in Adam. No middle ground. Look what he says there. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew God, not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ what? Crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Folks, that preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, is that mystery that was hid in the back here in the scriptures that God, that is prophesied that the Messiah would come. It was prophesied he would be betrayed. It was prophesied that he would go to a cross, die. It was prophesied that he would be raised from the dead. It was prophesied he'll ascend back. All of that was according to prophecy in the scriptures, but God revealed it to Paul that same prophecy was a mystery for you Gentiles in here. Now I want to go on while my time is gone. So he does it by the scriptures, he does it by preaching. And how is Christ manifest? Well, look why you're there in Corinthians. Come over to 2 Corinthians and look in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now how is Jesus Christ's life manifest in your mortal flesh? You heard Robbie quote the verse that there's no good thing in your flesh. How in the world can Jesus Christ be manifest? I've heard people say that all my life. I see Jesus in you. Now folks, I can look at you from now to doomsday and I can't tell whether I can see Jesus or not. You just look like another human being. Some of you look good and some of you, well, you look all right. I'm just going on with you. You all look good. You all got the different personalities. You all have different looks. Some's got more hair than the others, and some of us is on our way. Some got a little trail across here, and others has got parking lots and all of that. But I'm just going on with you, folks. You can't look at somebody and see Jesus in them. Well, how is he manifest? What he said in verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. That's physical death there. So then physical death worketh in us, but life. That's spiritual life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know how Christ is manifest in your mortal flesh? It's by words coming out of your mouth. Turn with me and look in Philippians and notice in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Look in verse 20. I tell you what, verse 20 to do it. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Look back in the passage and notice what he says there. In verse 13. So that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace as in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm sent for the defense of the gospel. notwithstanding every word, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That's how it's manifested in Paul's flesh. That's how it's manifested today. One other passage, turn over to Timothy again, and notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe He lived a sinless life. I believe He was God Almighty in the flesh on this earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him there was nothing made. And He dwelt among us. He's the Word of God incarnate. He's God. He said to Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I believe Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. You understand that? But what you can say about Jesus Christ, you can say about His body. Look at it. Chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry on, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christ. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Six things there. That's the mystery of godliness, is that body of Christ that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Christ today is manifest in the flesh through the body of Christ by preaching the gospel. That's not a reference to Christ's earthly ministry. Paul's not looking back to his earthly ministry, his fleshly ministry to Israel. He said, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we Him no more. And Paul's not referring to a life of Christ. He's referring to the body of Christ. Where is the Spirit of Christ today? Who's preaching the gospel of Christ today? Those that are saved. Boy, that you chew on that in a while. And you'll find out that just because people carry Bibles and they go to religious services, they're not all saved. There is a mystery of godliness. That's how God is manifest today through the church, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Then there's a mystery of iniquity, and that's the God of this world being manifest through the imaginations and the religions of the world today. They're in contrast. Now, I got a few more minutes. We have the revelation. By the way, while we're there, turn back to Matthew 16. My throat's closing up quick, so Matthew 16. Did Peter have a revelation? Huh? He did. Was his revelation a foundation? Paul's preaching the gospel was a foundation, wasn't it? Look in Matthew 16. Verse 15 said, and he said unto them, to whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So there's a rock there. What is that rock? That's foundation, isn't it? Well, what did Peter tell him? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want an example? Turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, notice in verse, he gets up in the chariot with his eunuch, the man of Ethiopia. Verse 35, Philip opens his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, I know Peter had to be preaching baptism to him, right? Or Philip. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day. Is that what he said? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God, or the Son of God. What did Peter confess back here? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Was Philip and the eunuch in this church back here? How'd they get in it? The door. You know what that door is? It's water baptism. You can't, I don't know how people read their Bible and not see some of this stuff. Two foundations, two bodies. I think Robbie went over all this. But the point is, Peter had a revelation, Paul had a revelation. This church is baptized in water. How you get in this church? By the gospel, believe in the gospel, and you're spiritually baptized. By one spirit are we baptized into one body. On and on the thing goes. Now, I want you to see something before we go. Turn back to Ephesians. There are four things, and first was the revelation. The second thing, I want you to see the Gentiles that he's writing to. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice what he says in verse 15, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Did Paul know them? How did he know? He heard about them, right? Come with me and look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 11, Wherefore remember that ye being in time past. Now he's writing to people that are alive, is he not? Come on, really? I mean, they're dead now, but when Paul wrote the letter, is he writing to live people? They're breathing air, aren't they? Hearts are pumping the blood. Where will time pass be in their lifetime? Huh? Are y'all afraid? He said, Wherefore, ye, being in time past, well, it's got to be somewhere in their lifetime, right? Well, then I know it has to be somewhere in the book of Acts. Somewhere in the book of Acts, these Gentiles had no hope. I mean, well, look at it. That ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, somewhere in their lifetime that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Somewhere in the book of Acts, those Ephesians that he's writing to, they had no hope because they were strangers from the covenants of promise. So when Paul goes in there in his journey, he begins to go in the book of Acts. He writes to Corinthians. He goes to Corinth. He goes to Thessalonica. Goes into Galatia. Writes to the churches of Galatia. Those people are in the synagogues. Turn back to Acts, and look in Acts for me in just a moment. Notice in Acts 13. Now, verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand said, ye men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Come down with me to verse, he goes to talk, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Paul was sent into them synagogues, and in them synagogues, there are Jews in there, and Gentiles in there that feared God, and they was there because they blessed the seed of Abraham, and God blessed them by letting them hear the message of salvation that was given to Paul. Look with me, and come on down with me in verse, I don't have time to go. Verse chapter 14, and it, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of Jews and also the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They take him out and they stone him. He lays there. I don't have time. Come in with me to 17. In chapter 17. Verse 1, he said, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. And folks, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And on he goes in there. There are Gentiles in there. And so he writes to these. The body of Christ is being formed in here. And he takes letters to these people in Acts chapter 15. Notice him back in Acts 15. Now I know I'm going a little fast. I hope you write it down. Think about it. Think with me, folks. This is during the Ephesians' lifetime. Those Ephesians that Paul's writing to in Ephesus, that he heard about their faith. They wasn't in them synagogues. They knew absolutely nothing about nothing. They weren't blessing the seed of Abraham. They were probably cursing the seed of Abraham. When he writes to the Corinthians, he said, talks about all of our fathers, how they were baptized under Moses. He ain't referring to the Ephesus crowd, the ones he writes to in Ephesians. They're the ones that be chasing them. There are people like you and me. There is no Israel today for you to bless, to get God's favor. God will not grant you favor because you're good to Israel today. God will grant you favor because you believe what His Son did for you. Jeez. Help people to see the truth today. Looking back, what did I tell you to go? Acts 15. In Acts 15, notice what he said. I'm just going to read what they did. He said, they write to him, the people at Jerusalem. And they give it to Paul now. And here it is, some of the things. Verse, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. Well, you think them, that crowd of Ephesus would care if a meat was offered to idol? They'd do it by like you. Who cares? You could sit down, offer whatever up. It's good meat. I'd want to eat it, wouldn't you? Look what he said, that you abstain from meats offered to idol, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Now I've been with people, and some of you in here, and you go order a steak, and you're eating that steak, and the blood's running out of it. I've seen it. And you say, boy, that's where the favor's at. That's good stuff. Now come on, you know some of you do that. According to the passage, you'd be wrong. From blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude, they delivered the epistle. They took the epistle. Look with me in chapter 21. In chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 25. James is talking inform thee that nothing but thou also walketh orderly, keepest the law, as touching the Gentiles which believe. We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing save only that which they keep themselves from things offered and from blood, from strangled, from fornication. And so he takes them in. Look back in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. In Acts 16, verse 4, he said, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for the keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. They're ordinances, folks, and they carry them in these cities, in these churches that Paul had started, and read to them the decree and the ordinances that James and them had wrote to them. Why? Paul's going after some Jews there that God ordained and had chosen in the body of Christ that would believe the gospel, and there's Gentiles in there. So when he goes into these churches here, he's starting up. And that's one group. This right here. You got the first. Look back in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Somebody prayed for my throat or something. Anyway, look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You have Paul, he's the first. And then you have him going into the synagogues. People are hearing his message, the message of salvation, and they're getting saved and they're in the body of Christ. He tells the Romans, he said, ye are the body of Christ. He tells the Corinthians, wherefore by one spirit are all baptized in the one body. He tells the Thessalonians, and he writes to Galatians, and on about, you have the spirit of promise, and you receive the spirit not by the works of the law, but by promise. On and on the thing goes. He's preaching, he's teaching to them. Now know, they're first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look in chapter 2, in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. They never blessed the seed of Abraham. They're saved. The Ephesians over here, Colossians over here, Philippians over here, they're in that group, and the Ephesians are, they're part of that, but listen, they didn't have the decrees. They didn't have the ordinances. These was keeping them. And you see, there could have been a real problem in here. Look back in chapter 2. He said in verse 14, but he is our peace who hath made both. Both? One, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in what? He moved them. Another revelation, another mystery. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain. Twain? Yep. Twain means two, isn't it? You got twain, you got two, right? One new man. So he joined these together, and they became one new man. These Gentiles blessed the seed of Abraham. They were in the synagogues. These was not. Look what he said. One new man, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both. Reconciliation is removing the barrier that separates something. Both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. And look in chapter 4. He says there, endeavoring, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and on the thing goes. There is to be peace and unity in the body of Christ. There's not to be no barriers. There's not to be no walls of denomination. We're all one in Christ, and brother, we're to believe the same thing, we're to walk in the same spirit, we're to have the same mind, same accord, believe the same gospel, believe the same books. But today the body of Christ is divided. The mystery, and he said, wherefore, for you Gentiles, I'm a prisoner. God had to lock him up. It's almost like Paul would have kept going to them synagogues. But he locked him up and he sat in a prison and writes the books over here. And after the day and the day, there is no Israel of God. In the future there will be. In the future it'll go back to where it was back here. And that foundation, they'll build upon it over there. But all of this is a mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul. And I know I went long, but you know, I was looking at some other grace preachers and their time limits, and they preach over an hour. I ought to have 1 hour at least once in a while, don't you reckon? Just do this.